All right. Well, what an amazing God we serve. Isn't he good?
Hallelujah.
Absolutely amazing. I appreciate you being here again tonight. This is our last night. Tomorrow is our eighth day celebration. And so this is, he said, 7 days you Sukkot with me. And this makes our last night for Sukkot.
Amen.
And tonight we're just going to have each one of the guys come up and just share what's the impact that we've had and what's been happening this week and his goodness. He's been so good to us. And I was just thinking about it. It's, you know, it went pretty fast. Seems like to me. It just seemed like we just had our first night. Now we're on our last night.
Come on.
But, you know, Sukkot is a time, as I said this morning, where we get a chance to rejoice. An opportunity to just let God know how much we appreciate his goodness. And I appreciate him. I thank God for everybody's participation this year. And look forward to next year. Planning already, looking at some how we can improve what we was able to accomplish this year. And I'm very pleased with everybody's attendance and everyone's just enthusiasm to try to make it the best you possibly can. And that's what it's all about. He's good to us all year. He's giving, giving, giving. And he asked for us for 1 week just to relax in him, to cope with him. And so thank God that he's met with us this week and he's made some differences in our life. Remember, this is a season of opportunity. And opportunities that you don't cherish them until you don't have them no more. There's never been a better opportunity to serve God than right now.
Amen.
And we encourage everyone to stay true to the things of God and what God is doing. And so we look forward to tomorrow. I'll give the message on the 8th day celebration. And so we look forward to doing that. And then what I want to just remind everyone, once tomorrow comes and we're going to have breakfast. Then we're going to start after breakfast. We'll prep for the lunch, get everything ready for that, best we possibly can. Service time will be later tomorrow. So just be, you know, as flexible as possible with that. We're going to see how everything goes with what we get done. And then we'll have our service time. We don't want to rush it. We want to have our service time as long as we possibly can. Then when we get out of the service, we'll have our lunch, and then we'll sit around the campfire and just let our food settle. We can do midrash or whatever we want to do there. And then everybody gets a good refreshing, good drink of coffee. We're going to start taking down the camp.
Amen.
And so we'll ask everybody to go to your personal tent, start getting your personal stuff out of your tent. That way when groups come around to help you take it down and fold it up, we won't be getting involved in your personal stuff, you know. So if you got underwears hanging in your tent, pack them up.
I was going to wrap it all up together.
So anyway, we're going to help each other. And then the last thing to put down, we'll take the main tent down. We got to make sure we put everything back together. We got some crates, put everything in that way. Next year, we're not looking for stuff. It's all packed. It's all itemized. We can put it back up, okay?
Yep.
So thank God. How many thank God for our new tent?
Yeah.
So this is something we're going to have to get next year. We already got it. Now it's in the system. And we're grateful that many years we get to use this.
As
the Lord says the same, we'll use it every time for his glory and for the purpose of having Sukkot together. So take some time. So think about while you're here tonight, think about the impact God has brought on your life. And the impact of all of our visitors that came. We didn't have a lot of visitors, but we put the word out. And we're going to keep doing and keep putting the word out. This is the command. He commands the church, all the church, everywhere, not just our church.
That's right.
To he said, for 7 days you Sukkot with me. That's what he said. For seven days you Sukkot with me, and then the 8th day celebration. This is not an option. This is not if you feel like it. He commands that we do these things because it's his feast.
That's right.
And so he invited us. Can you imagine the Most High invites you and I, we're simple people, invites us to Sukkot with him. That's an honor.
Hallelujah.
You know, you're not talking about getting an invitation from President Trump.
No.
In which all of us, you spend all the money you possibly can to try to make that meeting if he ever calls you to do it. We're talking about the Most High.
Amen.
The Most High says, I want you to Sukkot with me. And so I've been honored to be here with all of you. And I appreciate everybody's heart attitude. It just was wonderful. And it's meant, it's blessed me. It's really encouraged me. And I appreciate it.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 The Father is so, so good.
Amen.
If I start to lower my voice because I'm soft spoken, he'll just give me one of these. And I'm going to just take it as I'm doing a good job. The Father is so good. And this is about impact. And man, I'll tell you, sometimes whenever you have those moments just to wind down, relax, and just meditate, just kick back, sit in your chair, and just think. Think about all of what he has done in our lives. Think about what he has taken us from and where he's taken us to. It is so impactful. I'm so blessed that I get to do it with y'all.
Amen.
This congregation. And congregation is family. And I'm just so thankful. And I can tell you, one of the biggest impacts is being able to hear him speak.
Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm so thankful for Pastor Josh and Pastor Nikki.
Yeah.
Yes.
You think about how this week was laid out. The Father can only do it. The Father can only do it. From the moment that it started with Brother Charles. What a surprise.
Uh-huh.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like something that you would read out of a book, or it's just like something out of a movie.
Uh-huh.
Here comes along this guy that's traveling 4,000 miles on a motorcycle, blowing a shofar for the Almighty.
Right.
And then gets to fellowship with us.
Yeah.
And then what was the message surrounded around?
Mm-hmm.
Neither do I condemn you.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
The Father's forgiveness.
Yes.
It seems like it almost has no limits. But we should always appreciate it and receive it and walk in it the way that he wants us to walk in it. Then I thought about it the next day when he was dealing with me, and I was just like, where to go, Father? What to do? What do you want? Dealt with me with a sword. And like I said, I don't normally drive around with a claymore, with a giant sword in my truck. That's not my piece if I ever... I'm not talking about Shalom. But that's not my backup. But I was thankful that was there because it was a confirmation whenever he reminded me about it, because his word is important. That's our weapon whenever it comes to spiritual warfare, is the word. That's the sword he wants us to wield. That's the sword that protects us, leads us and guides us and surrounds us like a sukkah, like a tent, and keeps us protected. And then you think about how the word just kept moving along, and then it goes into the two women. That was profound. And really exhorts us, especially the men, to make sure that we're standing guard like Adam should have been.
That's right.
Because that's a man's job, to stand guard over what the Father has given him. To make sure if there's any whispers, use that sword. And get that enemy out the way. Then when you would think about it, it was so profound. Hearing my wife and Sister Becky speak. You know, sometimes whenever we hear a sermon go forth, there's something there. It might not be the whole thing. You want to retain it, like as if you've got a CD player or a DVD recorder in your mind. You wish you could just absorb like a sponge every single second. But there's always something. There's something that you can pull. And when my wife mentioned the meaning of Father, whenever she said, ask your Father. And she described what that means. He's likened to this right here. Without that, this tent isn't going to stand. Without the Father, we have no chance, no structure, no ability to have the walls to protect us. And thankfully, we have a Father that we can go to and ask. And then hearing Sister Becky pour herself out because of what she had to go through, the Father's going to be able to use that as a testimony and continue to build up those that she is able, going to be able to minister to.
Yes.
And then hearing loyalty. When Brother Scott brought that timely word of loyalty, just slides right in there and shows us how important friendship is, how important it is for us as a community to be able to be loyal to one another in relationships, in every aspect, and the importance of it. And then hearing, you speak with conviction, with spirit, and pouring yourself out, you and your wife, I probably got dehydrated. I'm going to let you know right now. I want to probably cry some more, and I couldn't. I probably needed about 3 bottles of water to keep up. Because that's how moved I am. That's how moved we all are.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that the Father has blessed you with restoration. Because His body needs you and your wife so bad.
So bad.
Don't ever let anything or anyone ever try and convince you otherwise.
Right.
And if they do, you seen that sword I got.
Amen.
I'll
go get it for you.
We're going to use the right sword. We're going to use the right sword.
Hallelujah.
And then this morning, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Whenever Pastor said the part where we need to have belief. Belief is what's going to allow us access to have rivers of flowing water. He don't want no dripping faucet. That's not our standards. He wants us to be able to retain and obtain the word so that way it can pour out of us. Because there's people out there that's experiencing spiritual drought. There's people out there that was just like us. I remember when I was broken. I remember when it was all about the nightlife. It was all about the going to the bars, the clubs, party houses, alcohol, drugs, so on and so forth, just trying to constantly escape and fill a hole that the Father can only fill.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
And this is the kind of partying that really brings the Spirit to life.
Amen.
This is Father approved.
Yeah. Amen.
And we're receiving the best advice. The best advice. And that comes with counseling. And that's what advice means. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. This is part of what I have tonight. And I asked the Father, Father, whatever you want me to say, please allow me to say it loudly and clearly.
Yeah.
Still doing? I'm speaking loud enough?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm doing good. Love you, my brother. But Psalms 1, after reflecting on the week that we've had, this beautiful Sukkot, it just really, really starts to magnify. But it says, blessed is the man who shall not walk in the counsel of the wrong. Counsel. It's H6098. Atsar. Trying my best to pronounce it right. I struggle with English sometimes. But if you look at it, I'm not going to go into every little tiny breakdown, but the very first thing it says is advice. Counsel is advice. Where do we get our advice from? Do we listen to the whispers that's coming from this ear, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, where we think that we're doing good, but it could lead to a really bad result? Or are we coming over here and let the whispers of this one soothe us, to counsel us, to give us advice that's going to allow us to live? Because the Father doesn't want us to walk in bad advice. The Father wants us to be able to listen to His words, to receive wisdom from the heavenly, so that way we can be as trees planted by rivers of living water.
Amen.
What's interesting, even further, the ancient Hebrew, firm tree,
hallelujah,
the upright and firmness of the tree. The upright and firmness of the tree, the elders of the tribe were the upright and firm ones making decisions and giving advice.
Hallelujah.
And I'm so thankful that I've been placed in a position to where I could receive a firm and upright advice. Because without y'all, without being able to absorb, I'm quiet. I sit in the background. Sometimes I'm probably part of the decorations. But I am listening. I'm listening. And I'm loving it. I'm telling y'all, if I would learn how to speak up sometimes, I do crack some pretty funny jokes that only usually people that are sitting next to me hear. And trust me, it's at nobody's expense. It is as corny as dad jokes can get. So I think I need to work on that. I need y'all to laugh at it. But it's A-N. So there's another part here that we could look at. And it's speaking of the feminine sense. The feminine sense. It says, tree council as the firm support of the community. That is absolutely beautiful, because all I can think is how blessed am I to have this community.
Hallelujah.
The cumulative, I told y'all I couldn't do English. The ability to communicate and have unity properly. Thank you, Father. Thank y'all for bearing with that. As long as I don't fall over. Let's continue in Psalms chapter 1. But his delight, let me reread it so we can get it flowing. Blessed is the man who shall not walk in the counsel of the wrong, and shall not stand in the path of sinners, and shall not sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the Torah of Jehovah, and he meditates in the Torah day and night. We've been having a lot of days and nights. And you kind of, if you're really in the spirit of it, you want it to keep going.
Yes.
Yeah, you might be tired. Yeah, they might have some mosquitoes. Yeah, they might have some stuff going on. But this is all for the glory of the Father. This is a time of rejoicing. For he shall be as a tree planted by rivers of water. I couldn't get over the moments that I went up and over that somewhat steeper than normal from the levee across from my house. It almost slipped twice. But thankfully the Father catches me, right? We get all on the other side, and I was just taking time to spend with the Father and thanking him. Because that's what he put into my spirit. Reflect upon what you have and what I've given you, and be thankful. And the minute he kept showing me each and one of y'all faces, it brought me to tears. Because that's more valuable than anything in this lifetime can hold. Because we know what the Messiah said about where we store our treasures up. In the heavenlies.
Right.
And down here, all these things, it's going away. It's going away. But we have a hope and an expectation that we are going to be eternal to not go away.
Amen.
But for he shall be as a tree planted by rivers of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. The wrong are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind blows away. And just a quick reminder, we know what wind means. It's Ruach. It's representative of the Father's Spirit. And we know that those things that are not anchored in the Father, whenever His Spirit moves, those that stand in the position of wrong are removed. But thankfully, and I'm going to say this with the utmost reverence, thankfully, He's patient and gives us time. He gives us plenty of time. Because sometimes it might feel like you've been completely blown away in the other sense. But the entire time, He's been working on your roots. He's been getting you stronger. And I'm sure we all know about strong wind down here. It could get real strong. So the expectation is we should have some strong roots. And the Father's always getting us prepared for the next test. Therefore, the wrong shall not rise in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Let's look at congregation. It's H5712, Adah. In a sense of fixture, a stated assemblage, specifically a concourse, or generally a family or crowd. And that's what we are.
Right.
Family.
Amen.
And I'm sure somewhere far down the line, I might be related to somebody in here. Hey, there we go. I'm doing good. Or you want me to speak up? But the beautiful thing is, congregation, it's more than just part of a simple routine. It's more than what you could possibly see on TV or whatever a person's mind may have of church. I mean, when I was once in the world, I'd pass a church, like, yep, that's a church. That's the only thought that I ever had. Never knowing until the Father had pulled me into a position to be able to be a part of His family. How blessed I am now.
Hallelujah.
Verse 6. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wrong comes to naught.
Right.
Let's look at knows. Yada. We're going to go straight to the ancient Hebrew. Because if you can see the Strong's, it's about a paragraph. But to know, the Dalet in the eye is to see knowledge, the door of the eye. The eye is the window into man's very being. Experience is gained through visual observation. Knowledge is achieved through these experiences. We know that it always begins with the eye. If our eyes are fixed on life, we'll receive life. If our eyes are fixed upon death, sin, then our eyes will receive that. But we have to be willing to constantly always turn and make sure that we are in a position to where we're only focused on that. And when you're locked in, if you try and peek back, even if it's a peek, hurry up.
That's right.
Look here.
Yeah.
Do not give any wiggle room for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the Father has impressed upon me personally, as the word has been going forth continually, because life is an abundance of choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what we have. And He wants to keep it simple for us. He wants us to be as trees planted next to a river. He wants us to be blessed and overflowing, so that way we could be able to pour out into the ones that we so long for, to pour into them, so that way they no longer have to deal with the spiritual drought.
Right.
But to know, this is the L and the V. Knowledge. This is what it's saying. This is what its deepest root leads to. And this is what we're going to close with on my end. But it says knowledge. To have an intimate relationship with another person, an idea, or an experience. To know. The Father wants us to be able to, in this time, to draw near to Him. So that way we can know Him. And be able to be in that right alignment so we could be considered righteous before our Father. So that way we could have water flowing through us. And I pray that this condensed, short, little speaking on Psalms chapter 1 and everything that we've been looking at as we're coming to a close in one of the Father's bookends, that it's motivating and encouraging us to choose life.
Amen. Amen.
I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I am. And I'm noticing there was a lot less mosquito slapping. So that's definitely a praiseworthy thing. The Father's good to us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'd like to say that Rob mentioned something. Brother Rob mentioned that Brother Charles visited us the first day. But it was all because of Shelly.
Amen. Right.
And it's amazing that
she's here last day.
That's right.
We want to thank you,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, God has ways. And I told at the funeral, I said, thank you for telling him to come because we enjoyed him.
Yeah.
We enjoyed having him. But she knew about us.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I know the people you need to go see.
Right.
And she sent him over here. So we want to say thank you.
Yeah.
And we're glad we can do it in person because you're here tonight. God made all this happen.
That's
all right.
Yeah.
I got the text. I was popcorn.
Popcorn.
All right.
Oh, you got that caramel popcorn.
Caramel popcorn.
He's a bird.
Yeah. I probably have to keep y'all here too long because I didn't even know this was happening. So I, you know, it was all shared tonight, but I'm glad I read up a little something just to always be prepared for occasions like this. But I want to take you back to a story. It's in 1 Chronicles, in chapter 11, verse 15. I could have put this into my loyalty message because I still want to show just a little piece of loyalty that we owe not to to our master.
Amen.
And I'm going to show how serious it was. And then we're going to look at something our master said. In 1 Chronicles 11, 15, and three of the 30 chiefs went down to the rock of to Dawid in the cave of Adullam, while the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephidim. And Dawid was then in the stronghold, and the watchpost of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And Dawid longed and said, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." He's thirsting for water. He's on the run.
Yep.
Are we thirsting tonight?
Yeah.
We're going to see something what our master said. And three broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to Dawid. But Dawid would not drink it, but poured it out to Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
Are we pouring out to Jehovah? This story here just... As we were worshiping, just because I had a little part, but I just needed something to add to it, and just brought this story to my mind. And that's why I added this in here, because I think it's going to be so powerful for what it's going to mean. He poured it out to Jehovah as much as he thirsted with, and this is what he said. And he said, "Far be it from me, O my Elohim, that I should do this. Should I drink the blood of these men who have risked their lives?" You talk about loyalty to a king. Risked their lives just for water. What are we risking our life for? Uh-huh. They did it for water, uh-huh. for their king. This is the king of all kings. And what are we risking?
Yeah.
7 nights away from our home, and we all live close by. You know, this past week at the job, 2 days in a row, I got to share the tent with our boss Gerald, the foreman. Just a little bit, not a whole lot, but he kept inquiring. And today I started, I said, "Look, man, if you got I said, tomorrow we're having steak and eggs for breakfast." I think I maybe just enticed him a little bit. Which he was already enticed, and my brother kind of laid a little foundation groundwork on him. But I told him today, I said, "Look, but if you can't make it this time, next year, plan to come out."
That's right.
So we'll see. The seeds are sown. It's going to be sown, and we're still sowing.
Yeah.
He said, "Should I drink the blood of these men who have risked their lives? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it. And he would not drink it." And this is what the three mighty men did. Now listen to these guys here. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of another three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 men who were slain and won a name among the three. Of the three, he was more esteemed than the other two men. So he became their head. However, he did not become to the first three. Benaniah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a brave man from Kabishiel, who had done many deeds. He struck... Oh, did I must have skipped some. No.
You good?
No. Okay. I thought I had another one here, but must be another verse. Who had done many deeds, he struck two lion-like Moabites. He also went down and struck a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. But the point I wrote down, there's four guys that he mentioned right here. Which you go further down, they don't tell you about the rest of the guy. But these four men, I missed their names. The first one of the guys I read, if you go up a couple passages, his name was Yeshuam, age 34. He said, his name means the people will return. I believe our people will return.
Amen.
In time and setting like this, when the word goes forth, they will return. Eleazar, age 499. God has helped. He has helped us in times past. He has still helping, still working for us. Abishai, I thought this was interesting, age 52. My father is Jesse. Oh, what a name. Or my father is a gift. Look, we got a Jesse in here, and he's a gift to all of us.
Yeah.
So I'm so thankful. And Benaniah was 11:41. Jehovah has built, or Jehovah has built up. So I'm gonna tell you, these four guys, they were loyal to their king, and just risked their lives for a drink of water. Now go with me to John. John 7. In verse 37. This is what I read the other day, because I was just sharing with somebody about Sukkot. And he said, man, y'all crazy. Ain't nobody sleep out there in their tents and out there. We're commanded to. That's the point where one of them even laughed. I said, you can laugh. They laughed at Noah too. Until the rain came. So it's fine. You can laugh. You can say we're crazy. It's okay. He said, on the last day, the great day of the festival, this is where we're at. Yeshua stood and cried out, say, if anyone thirsts, what was that weed? He was so thirsty. But Yeshua's acting to say, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And let him who believes in me drink. This is what we're here for. We come to gather here to the tree of life. He tells you, you're thirsty. Here I am. Come and drink. There's so many animal verses that we could tie into this. As the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. When I'm on a job site, look, I want my fragrance to smell. I want that living water to flow from my inner being. Because there's people out there who are thirsty, who need this. They've been eating over this so long, they don't even know about this. It's our job to tell them about this. And he said this concerning the Spirit, which those believing in him were about to receive, for the set apart Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet esteemed. And boy, did he get esteemed. And is esteemed now, but forevermore. Can you imagine the day his return at Tree of Life will return one day? So this was something short, quick. But I want you to see the simplicity of the word. We have to hunger and thirst for him. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is just a short. I just wanted to share with you because we have to hunger and thirst for him. That word for thirst is G1372. Disciple is to suffer thirst. Suffer from thirst. Have you ever been in a spot where you, man, just need water so bad? Now someday I'm working, man, you know, 2 or 3 hours pass by, you don't get a drink, but man, when you get that bottle of water, oh my God, you, man, my throat was so dry. This is what it's talking about. The thirst for him. Figuratively, those who are said to thirst, who painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for, those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. A cold bottle of water, when you're sweating, pouring sweat, will do you some good. Does good for the soul, for the body. But we have to hunger and thirst for him.
So, amen.
All right. Popcorn.
Thank you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I read it 2 years ago. I was getting that.
You know, I was thinking about Sukkot. And, you know, there's many things that we've done that we do with all our heart. And now we're starting to do this. And this is just a scratch on the surface of what's true and what's real. I mean, Brother Scott brought up with loyalty, with Jonathan. This is real. This is not twisted, chaos, deranged, ugly. It's true and real. Now, when you want to compare that with Easter eggs and bunnies, I'm like, okay, we serve to do Easter eggs and bunnies. It's the most, when you sit there and think about it, these things that we did in the world that represented this tree right here was crazy and really weird. Now that you see it and you look at this over here, this is true, real, and it's life-giving. I was thinking about this after we finally learning what the trees are. This is the centerpiece. These two are the centerpiece, and it had to come from the beginning. It couldn't come from Matthew on. It couldn't come from Exodus on. It had to come from right here, these two trees for the centerpiece. Now that you got the centerpiece, you see it throughout all the record now. Which ones was doing this, and which ones was doing this, and what this led to. And Josh even brought it up with David when he veered off in that direction, what it leads to. This thing leads to death. Everything it represents is death. There's no life in there. You can grab it and you have a great time for a long time, but sooner or later it's going to rot. There's nothing there but death. That only brings death.
Amen.
And we know a lot about this by the lives that we live. But this right here, we didn't know a whole lot about. Mm-hmm. But now we're getting to learn about, and more so now, when I got to see the women in it. When I seen that, and then it was just these past 2 days, I'm like, oh, it's like a hen, a mother hen, a real mom. She would die shielding and protecting her babies for life to be preserved for their generations, and even give her last meal and die for her children. So now see the feminine part in Yeshua, that he died for us, protecting his generation. We have his generation.
Amen.
And why would we want to go back to this after he died for us to have this eternal life? This right here is going to bring us right back to what he died for us to have. It's really crazy. This tree, you got to quit looking that way. And I could be honest with you, I still, even after telling you what I learned the last 2 days about, you know, I'm going to read some word in a minute about Yeshua, how he tells us, he says, you got to lose your life to gain it. It's just like him. We have to die for our generation. We have to die keeping him. He's our eternal life. We gotta keep him. And I was talking to Brother Scott about this morning. We're talking about, you know, we give these messages, us guys up here. And I know in the past, every time you get a message, it's like you're speaking it, and in this piece of your mind, you know, the next couple of days gonna come, the enemy's gonna come at you, and he's gonna try you, which is good in a way, but if you're not guarding and keeping, you're gonna end up doing that, and you're gonna go right back in it, and it's gonna smell good, it's gonna taste good. And then right at the end, you're like, oh, why did I do that again? It's the most terrible feeling, because now you gotta come back here. And the only way to come back here, like Pastor Josh said, you have to repent. You have to make sure and listen and do what he says.
Amen.
But it all comes, you know, when I was thinking about that, like a mother and like Eve, and she represents the flesh. And we always listen to the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. But as long as Adam was guarding, his wife was good. The enemy didn't come in. The minute he lost and backed up and he didn't shield his wife and guard and keep, then the enemy come in.
Yeah.
Now the flesh is weak. Us, as long as we're guarding and keeping this, meditating day and night, our flesh is strong. It's up to par. But the minute we break, then your flesh gets weak. You look, then you go off this way and down you go. You got to stay constantly guarding. And keep. Why the Father says in Devarim 8 over and over, he said, guard and keep it. Guard it and keep it. For this is your life. Guard and keep it.
Right.
So this guard, the first place you see guard, Shamar, is in Genesis chapter 2. 15 through 17, and Yehovah Elohim took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it, Shamar. And Yehovah Elohim Tzavah, a mitzvah, commanded the man, saying, eat of every tree of the garden, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's the first place we see guard in Shamar in our scriptures. And then the next place is Genesis 3:24. And he drove the man out, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, in a flaming sword which turned every way to do what?
Guard.
To guard the way to the tree of life. To guard it. To guard the way of tree of life. So Yeshua is our tree of life. And it's our responsibility to shemar and keep and guard him in our life at all costs. Even if we have to die for it. That's what that means when he said you have to lose your life. Or you're willing to lose your life. No matter what. That's what guarding and keeping is. If you would stand in the ranks and that you would take the bullets and you would die no matter what. You would keep this. You would keep the all the feast days. You would keep your attendance on all your Shabbats. You have to guard and keep them. Because if you don't, remember, you're going to let yourself go back that way again. You have to guard it at all costs. For this is your life and generations. And a millennial to generations. Not just your seed here. Not just my daughters. Or if I had a son, which the son is a seed. But in the millennial, when you go to millennial, you have generations. But you got to live to make it to have generations. If you die out in this time before the millennial without Messiah, you're done. There's no more generations after you. It's over. There's no more Jerusalem when Messiah comes. It's all over. It's all done. You have to guard it at all costs. Genesis 17:9-12. And Elohim said to Abraham, as for you, Yishmar, you guard my covenant, you and your seed after you throughout your generations. This is my covenant, which you guard between me and you and your seed after you. Every male child among you is to be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall become a sign of the covenant between me and you. And the son of 8 days is circumcised by you, every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house, or bought with silver from any foreigner who is not of your seed. It's to preserve life. It's to preserve generations. Preserve generations. Again, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it has no life in it. It's death. Everything about it is death. No matter which angle, which way you go about it, you can talk yourself into saying it's going to be all right. And that's what it does. It blinds you. I'm on the boat all the time with so many people that are blinded. And there's nothing that you can say because it's so blinding when you're in there. There's nothing that you can say to change it. It would only take Yehovah at maybe a special time or a certain place or maybe for them to ask a question or maybe have their eyes open, some kind of a way of a prayer. But that tree, once you grab a hold of it, it's been proven to the best of the best. Adam and Eve took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it went sour from there. Yeah. The trees are the centerpiece. And like I said, you know, I see the two trees throughout the record now, and now the more we keep inundating ourselves with the tree of life, with Yeshua, and everything from the beginning in the record, and keep going through story after story, Vashti and Esther, and we start seeing all the differences in the record, then when you're out and about, when you're looking with your eyes at something, because it's all over in the world. This tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's all over in the world. It's in your daily walk, wherever you are, during the day, you can see with your eyes, with your ears, you can hear, and you got thoughts that come, you got to immediately cast it down. Don't look. But what Pastor Josh said, once you look and you start getting captivated, then it starts talking to you. Before you know it, you give in to it. And there you go. And it's all downhill from there.
Amen.
And always remember, both of them are good to the sight, you're gonna smell, and the taste. But what lies behind this one is death and Sheol. Sheol, that's what that one represents. But this one is life, and life for everlasting. Everlasting life with peace and joy. So this is the part that I got to this morning about guarding and keeping and willing to lose your life to keep it all at any cost. And it's in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24-28. And Yeshua said to his taught ones, If anyone wishes to come after me, this is incredible to have this as a visual. Pastor gave us as a visual. I thank the Father for giving us the pastor for a visual, because this has been helping me throughout all Sukkot and before Sukkot. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his stake and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? The Son of Adam is going to come in the esteem of his Father with his messengers, and he shall reward each according to his works. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death at all until they see the Son of Adam coming in his reign. Think about it. Those who died before us, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will be raised at his coming. They have a hope and a future because they held the rank. They stayed loyal. And then when they failed and made a mistake, they repented to keep it straight. They will be raised.
Hallelujah.
They don't have to stand there and worry about my life, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to have. They understood what it was, that if I die, I die. Stephen, he already knew what it was. I want to stand no matter what the cost is. And I want to tell you everything about the Torah. And he gave it to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he kept speaking it to them and speaking it to them with joy. And they stoned him to death for it. He held ranks as hard and long as he could. And so he said, I see Yeshua at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
And he shall be raised too.
Right. Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, the tree of knowledge of good and evil will really make you feel like you got something. If you go to Deuteronomy 8, chapter 17 through 19, this tree will make you feel, once you start accomplishing things, you did it. Because he tells us about endeavoring. You just build these houses. You're making the money now. But in the beginning, before you, he's the one who made the trees. Deuteronomy 8:17. Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand have made for me this wealth. But you shall remember Yehovah your Elohim, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth in order to establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. And it shall be, if you by any means forget Yehovah your Elohim, and follow after other mighty ones, and serve them, and bow yourselves to them, I have warned you this day that you shall surely perish.
Right.
He told it to our first forefathers, Adam and Eve, and he's telling us the same thing again today. It's the same tree story in our lives every day. Guard Yeshua with all your life, and all that, if it takes everything and even to die for it, and then you shall live.
Amen.
I'll raise you.
Amen.
I remember reading the story many times in the new writings about the gardener, but it comes to life even more now, and it says, it is the gardener, and he made this garden. And then we get the book of Enoch, and he got the mountains on fire, and he's a centipede, not just two trees and a snake. It's just so childish to just stay there and just think that over and over again. But now, we're growing. Now we get more enlightened. Now we get closer and spend more time with the tree of life.
Amen.
Matthew 16:25. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. We must guard the tree of life at all costs. Because Yeshua did, our master did, even being hung on a cross. He held for his chicken, his little hen, his little chick. He held at all costs for us to be able to live. If he had not done that, we was done. None of us would be even having Sukkot. Nothing. Wouldn't be here. He held it up. And he did an incredible job for us. In John chapter 13, verse 13, you call me teacher and master, and you say, well, for I am. And if I, Master and teacher, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash your feet. Yeah. That's what we're doing. We have to one another and love one another. I gave you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You do for each other. That's what he says. That's what our master says. And I have many more to go into Proverbs chapter 9, but this is just what I feel I was given a gift today.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
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 Man, I appreciate the brothers sharing, amen, each and every one of them.
Hallelujah.
I told Brother Robert too, I said, hey, you gonna go first? Or you want me to go first? He said, I'm about just got a little bit. I said, well, I just got a little bit too. I didn't know the other brothers were speaking until Pastor got up and addressed it. So I was the one who popcorned Brother Scott. I sent him a text and said, hey, you going next? After Brother Rob. But I told Brother Rob, I said, we're going to blame it on the mosquitoes. If you do 15 minutes, I didn't do 15 minutes, then you go off. We just said mosquitoes. But Brother Scott made mention of that, of Jesse. I mean, and, you know, he was referring how, you know, we appreciate, we got a, so to us, that's a jewel, what we got.
Amen.
Somebody that hits it hard in the Word every single day in, day in and day out. All hours, it don't matter if the Father can wake him up 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. He's going to get up and he's going to hit it for us. So we appreciate that. But we got a double portion. We got two Jessies.
That's right.
Because we got the Papa Stop effect.
That's right.
That's the one,
yeah,
I was referring to.
Oh. I thought you were referring to Pastor. Because not too long ago, Pastor reminded us that,
yeah,
Papa was the one who signed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Papa Stopper to put his name on that dotted line, who knows? There never would be a Faith Temple ministry. But again, then, you know, if he wouldn't have, then maybe the Father would have raised someone up. But guess what? You put that name on that line, guess who's responsible for the new? Papa Stopper.
Right.
His name's on that line. So we appreciate both,
yeah,
our Jessies.
Yeah.
Both of them. Because I wouldn't be here standing in Faith Temple ministries if it wasn't for Papa and Granny putting their name up on for us, each and every one of us today. So I appreciate that. Yeah. Man, he's good. I'm excited. Listen, we're tired. So go 8 days, 7 days of this, long nights, early mornings. If you do get tired, but how refreshing is the spirit? The spirit, man, is so refreshed. And I am so, so happy. You know, Brother Rob said some things earlier, you know, about me and my wife and everything, and how, you know, it's good to hear us and all that. You know, the enemy tries to, he robs you of that. He can make you, he makes you want to think, you know, your voice don't matter. Look how much you did, in and out and all that. But the Father, he sees different. You know, you, and I'm so thankful. Because look, Sukkot meant everything to me this year.
Amen.
There's no way on this earth I was going to miss a single moment of this. 8 days of it, I was going to be here every single day. I made it a point. My mind was made up that I was tired of eating of this tree right here. I'm so glad. What's that song, the first song you sing when you say you lay all your burdens down?
Glory,
glory, and you lay your burdens down. And his goodness, I'm so thankful that his goodness never, ever stopped running after me in these past 3 years. And it led me right back right here. To this tree, it tastes so much better than that tree. So much better than that tree, this tree tastes. And I don't never want to leave this tree ever again in my life. So, I mean, it's 8 o'clock, but hey, it's a celebration. So I hope nobody, don't get too tired. Get some coffee, get the coffee ready if we got to. Because, you know, when we celebrated in the world, time wasn't, right now, we just be getting crunk.
Amen.
We just be getting crunk right now. You're not going to the bar unless you're a heavy, heavy drinker. You might be
crunk or drunk.
We just getting crunk right now in the world. You know, you know, you think you're not going to a party at 11 o'clock. You're not going to a bar unless you got an issue, you know. But it's nighttime is when, boy, when it get dark. Oh, yeah, that's when you put your fresh best on and you don't. Spraying you down with nothing but cologne. People smell you from a mile away. So he's been good. He's great to us.
Yes.
And I knew I had to speak, but I wasn't really pushing the issue, like preparing like I should have been. I'm telling myself. Because I was like, well, maybe Pastor might say something. You know, the 8th day, it's a celebration. So maybe God might have gave him a little something extra, a little nugget. He's always finding nuggets all the time. So all day long, I was like putting it off to ask him. But I kept meditating, say, what you want me to say? What you want me to say? And sometimes he waits to the last hour to give you something. Because you know what? Because I feel like he wants to see how serious you are and how dedicated you are that you want to hear from me. And when Pastor brought out, you know, John 7. I think he read the whole channel, even though how much you're. I gotta have to look at my notes. But that kept coming on in my head. Go back to John 7. Revelation 21. We was sitting out there, and I started reading about that, because that talks about the Feast of Booths too. That talks about Sukkot. And I'm gonna read. That's where I'm gonna pull my texts from, that John 7:1 and Revelation 21. But man, I was just like, okay, well, you gotta give me something. You gotta give me some. What I'm gonna say. But he definitely. So we coming from John 7:2. Even though Brother Scott brought it out and Pastor brought it out this morning, and Pastor John's gonna bring it out again tonight. For some reason we gotta get it. Maybe it's a reason that he's wanting us to read all this John 7. Oh, mention it to us. And this is Yeshua at the Feast of Booths. I don't know why we wouldn't want to do this.
That's right.
Our master is doing it. Our master did it. He kept Sukkot. Why we don't want to keep Sukkot? Because Sukkot is refreshing. It restores. It does so much for you. I'm going to bring all these little points out. It says in John 7:1, and after this, well, before I start, I was nervous. Look, last night I was nervous. Bad. Nervousness. However, my brother says that word.
Nervousness.
It was like twice as bad. I wouldn't even eat before the service last night. But man, when I came home, when I came from taking my shower and stuff just a little while ago, I was hungry. I ate ice cream. I drank a cup of coffee too. And I ate.
We ain't never
And I was like, man, you're so good to me. Because even though I'm still a little nervous, but not as nervous, just
hallelujah,
how good he is. Like, I'm going to take care of you. Just go up there and just do what I'm telling you to do. Plain and simple. You do what I'm telling you to do. Everything else going to work fine.
That's it.
The people still going to love you. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
All right, well, let's go then. If he's on my side, I ain't got nothing to worry about.
That's right.
Yeshua at the Feast of Booths. Verse 1. And after this, Yeshua was walking in Galilee, for he did not wish to walk in Yehudia. Because the Yehudim were seeking to kill him. And the festival of the Yehudim was near, the festival of Sukkot. So his brothers said to him, get away from here and go into Yehuda, so that your taught ones also see the works that you are doing. For no one acts in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these works, show yourself to the world. What we need to be doing, if we're doing these works, we need to show ourselves to the world. Whatever feast day we celebrate, the world needs to know. Some way, somehow, we can't be afraid of it, afraid to show them. Because they're not afraid to show us their stuff. They FaceTime and they YouTube and they all those things. Why we can't be doing the same thing? No difference. We should be doing it more, to tell you the truth. They should know. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Imagine that, his own brothers did not even believe in him. Yeshua therefore said to them, he did exactly what the Father told him to do. He didn't deviate from nothing. He says, therefore said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. It is impossible for the world to hate you, but it hates me because I bear witness of it, that its works are wicked. You go up to this festival. I am not going up to this festival, for my time has not yet been fulfilled. Listen, you would think, well, man, maybe he's scared. He sure wasn't scared. Listen, he responds that his time has not yet come, showing his perfect submission to his Father's timing. It had nothing to do with him being feared. If somebody might read that who don't really know scripture, they might say, well, man, maybe he was scared right there. No, he wasn't scared. He was just, he was waiting for the right time for his Father to tell him, go. And having said this to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the festival, then he also went up, not openly, but as it were in secret. The Yehudim therefore were seeking him at the festival and said, "Where is he?" And there was much grumbling about him among the crowd. Some were saying he is good, but others were saying no, but he is leading the crowd astray. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Yehudim. And about the middle of the festival, Yeshua went up into the set apart place and he was teaching. Now he said he went in there secretly. But what he says, in the middle of the festival, he stood up in the set apart place. That was, he didn't, you know, he wasn't timid. He wasn't afraid of what they was wanting to try to do to him. He started teaching. Yeshua was not avoiding the feast. He wasn't avoiding the feast at all. He knew he was gone. He was just waiting to hear that word. Sometimes that's what we got to wait to hear from him. We want to move quickly. Sometimes we want to go when he, as soon as he gives us a word. But sometimes he's saying, "I'm going to give you this word, but just wait till I tell you to go. Just wait. Just hold on to it." Remember that vessel I was talking about last night, that vessel of mercy and grace? We got to be that vessel. And so, when he gives you that word, you just hold it. Hold it tightly. Hold it dear because it's valuable. His word is valuable. He was moving in divine alignment. That's how he moved. He didn't go when he wanted to go, when his brothers wanted him to go. He was waiting on to hear from his father. Why? Because he was right in line with his father. Amen. He didn't get off course, not even this much. If the line was right here, he walked it perfectly. Perfectly. He didn't get off at all. And the Yehudim was marveling, saying, "How does this man know letters, not having learned?" Yeshua answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone desires to do his desire, he shall know concerning the teaching whether it is from Elohim or whether I speak of myself." So what should we be doing? We should be desiring to do his desire. This is his desire right here. To Sukkot for 8 days. It's his desire for us to be here. What we should be doing? Desiring it. Loving it. Yeah, you're going to get tired. Absolutely. You're human. You're fleshly. Your flesh always gets tired. The body needs rest. But the spirit. The spirit needs it more than I don't know what. He says, "He who speaks from him speaks of his own esteem. But he who seeks the esteem of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Hallelujah. "Did not Moshe give you the Torah? Yet not one of you does the Torah. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered and said, "You have a demon. Who seeks to kill you?" Yeshua answered and said to him, "I did one work, and you all marvel. Because of this, Moshe has given you the circumcision, though it is not from Moshe, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the Torah of Moshe should not be broken, are you wroth with me because I made a man entirely well on the Sabbath?" You mad at me because I healed somebody? Because I spoke life into somebody? I gave somebody another opportunity? You mad at that? "Therefore, some of them from Jerusalem said, 'Is this not he whom they are seeking to kill? And see, he speaks boldly.'" He wasn't scared. He spoke boldly. And they said, "None at all to him. Could it be that the rulers truly know that this is truly the Messiah? But we know there's where this one is from. And when the Messiah comes, no one knows where he is from." Yeshua therefore cried out in a set apart place, teaching and saying, "You both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. Listen, if he wasn't in divine alignment with his father, and left when he said leave, he couldn't speak boldly like that. He would have been out. He would never been where he needed to be. He couldn't have spoke these words if he wasn't right where he needed to be, where the Father wanted him to be, at the right time, at the right place. "But I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. So they were seeking to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. And many of the crowd believed in him and said, when the Messiah comes, shall he do more signs than these, which this one did? The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these matters concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to seize him. Therefore, Yeshua said to them, yet a little while I am with you, then I go to him who sent me.
That's right.
You shall seek me, and you shall not find me, and where I am, you are unable to come. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's going to come a time when we're going to be seeking to find him, and we're not going to find him. So right now, while the seeking is good, we got to seek all we can. All we can. The Yehudim therefore said to themselves, where is he about to go that we shall not find him? Is he about to go to dispersion among the Greeks and to teach the Greeks? What is this word which he said, you shall seek me and you shall not find me, and where I am you are unable to come? Verse 37. This is where we at. How many know what this evening, 6:30? This started our great day.
Yeah.
So this is the time right here, whether it was nighttime or evening time, or in the morning. But this is right here when the rivers of living water stood up. He says, and on the last day, the great day of the festival, Yeshua stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Anyone, no restrictions, blind, crippled, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, color didn't matter, old, young, it didn't matter. He says, anyone seeks me.
Yes.
If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and let him who believes in me drink. Yeshua himself is the well of living water.
Mm-hmm.
Believers who receive the set apart spirit become channels.
Yeah.
If you're a believer and you receive the set apart spirit, which every day we should make sure we some way somehow we get ourselves in that realm of communicating with the set apart spirit. We want that every day because that set apart spirit is what leads and guides us through life.
Yeah.
And without it, that's where we wind up.
That's right.
You say, how you know that, Pastor Josh? I was just there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just there not too long ago.
Okay.
He said, believers who receive the set apart spirit becomes channel, not just containers. You're not just a container, you're a channel when you receive the set apart spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it says, you want that to flow. The water is meant to flow out. Why? Because it brings life.
Right.
It brings healing.
Mm-hmm.
And a refreshment to others.
Amen.
What the set apart spirit does, it brings life, healing, and refreshment to others. Listen, I'm refreshed. And it wasn't because it's not for that cup of coffee, I can promise you. One cup of coffee. Maybe if I would have had a Celsius, y'all would have a leg to stand on. But you ain't got no leg to stand on in one cup of coffee. Not with me. It's refreshing. The set apart spirit is refreshing. Yeah, my flesh is tired. I don't want to get up 5:00, 6:00 every morning for 8 days straight and hit, and do it all day long. You're prepping, you're going, you're moving. But man, that spirit man is so refreshed. So refreshed. It satisfies spiritual thirst in a way nothing else can. It satisfies spiritual thirst a way that nothing else can. Look, this tree is not, there was nothing satisfying about being in this tree. Nothing at all. It's death, like Brother Chad said, it drains you. You're walking dead. It's literally killing you every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day. But that tree right there is nothing but life.
Hallelujah.
Nothing but life and blessing.
Thank you, Father.
He says, him who believes in that scripture. Yeshua reveals that living water symbolizes the Holy Spirit who flows through the believer. You have to believe.
Right.
If you want the set apart spirit, you have to believe. Because it's refreshing, it's cleansing, and it empowers you. He was claiming to fulfill the prophetic hope of Sukkot, the outpouring of Elohim's spirit, and the coming of Elohim's presence to dwell with his people. In verse 38, the last one, as the scripture said, out of his innermost shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what I want in my life.
Right.
And I know that's what each and every one of y'all want in your life. You want to be able to when someone asks you a question, or when somebody, you know, texts or anything to do or so, you want that to just to flow out of you. I know I want it. I don't want no hesitation when I have to bring scripture to somebody. Right. Before I had that, you know, there was you stay away from it, you shy away from it. You might send a little text, you know, because it's easier to send a text than to be face to face with somebody and try to share the word, especially if they a little more seasoned than you in the word. But when you've got that set apart spirit, we ain't got to be scared of that.
That's right.
We ain't got to be scared of that at all. Because you know why? Because that river of living water just going to flow. Amen. It flows through you. It says living water referred to fresh flowing water from a spring, river, or rain, rather than stagnant water in a cistern. I don't want to be a cistern to where the water, you know, the water just stands there, stagnant, doesn't move, starts stinking. No, that's not what he wants you to be. He wants you to be a river, a vessel to where it just steady flows. It flows out of you because it's fresh, it's living, it's powerful.
Amen.
The living water was considered pure and life-giving. In Hebrew thought, water symbolizes life, cleansing, and renewal.
Hallelujah.
Elohim is the source of life.
Right.
When his presence flows, it brings fruitfulness and my favorite, restoration.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
His spirit brings restoration.
Right.
Your mouth start working again for some reason. You can talk. Shemini Azaret. I'm thankful for that. Man, Pastor Josh was quiet for a long time, and there's no way. I was like, done. You done, son. But he didn't. Nah, he doesn't give up on you. It's never done when he's around. It's always possible. Always possible. You just have to yield to. You got to repent first. Humble yourself. Get in the wilderness. It's okay to be in the wilderness. Let him lead you through that one more time, because this is where he's gonna lead you to, right here. Right back to the tree of life. Revelations 21, and just 1-8. Because this one right here, 21 verse 1, because it's talking about Sukkot. And what is Sukkot right here? And I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. Listen, we're going to want this. What the sea represents in Scripture. Chaos. That's why he says the sea will be no more. There'll be no more chaos. When that renewed heaven, that renewed earth comes down, no more chaos. The sea will be no more. A renewed heaven and earth where Yehovah dwells with his people forever.
Amen.
It's a vision of restoration, joy, and perfect fellowship with Yehovah.
Hallelujah.
Perfect fellowship.
Hallelujah.
And I, Yohanan, John, saw the set-apart city renewed, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heaven saying, see, the booth of Elohim is with men. The booth, this sukkah, one day, it's going to be with man right here. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. Yehovah will tabernacle, means to live and dwell with his people, fulfilling the Feast of Tabernacles. Yehovah will tabernacle with us forever.
Right.
Forever. What a time that's going to be to have him, the creator, the man who breathed breath into our very lives. Think about that. The one who gives us life every single day.
Amen.
Every single morning that we wake up, we should be thanking him.
That's right.
I'll never forget Pastor Charlotte's little message, or little address to the church one time. She says, Father, I wake up every single day and I choose to serve you. I'll never forget that. I will always remember that, because I want to remember that to the day I close my eyes. That every single day I wake up, I want to remember, hey, Father, it's because of you. Today is the day and I choose to serve you.
Uh-huh.
Verse 4, and Elohim shall wipe away, this is exciting, every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more mourning, no crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former matters have passed away.
Hallelujah.
Every tear wiped away, he will swallow up debt forever.
Right. Thank you, Father.
That would be the last thing put down is debt. And he will swallow it up forever. No more debt, mourning, or pain. The full reversal of the curse in Genesis 3. Full reversal.
Right.
It's going to take it all back.
Thank you, Father.
Verse 5. And he who was sitting on the throne says, see, I make all matters new.
That's right.
And he said to me, write, for these words are true and trustworthy. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Tau, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, we got to get thirsty. You know, we get thirsty of a lot of other things in this world. We got to get thirsty for this right here. Because he said, you have to. He says, in the beginning and the end, to the one who thirsts, I shall give. That's a promise, not a might. I shall give of the fountain of the water of life without payment.
Thank you, Father.
Ain't gonna cost us nothing.
That's right.
All he wants is just for us to keep his commands, keep his laws, keep his right rulings, keep his feast days, and serve him with everything that is in him. Because why? He says, I will, the fountain of the water of life without payment, I'm gonna give y'all. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. Do what I do and do as I say. Yehovah declares his sovereignty as the beginning and the end, the water of life, the spirit of Elohim flowing freely to his people.
Amen.
Verse 7, the one who overcomes shall inherit all this, and I shall be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. We have to overcome.
That's right.
We have to overcome. But as for the cowardly, listen to this, and untrustworthy, and abominable, and murderers, and those who whore, and drug sorcerers, idolaters, and all the false, their part is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Listen, we don't want to find ourselves right here in that day. This is the spot we want to stay away from. Because look at what he says. He just lists a whole bunch of them. All those people right here. You're going to be in a lake. This is a warning. For those who reject Elohim's ways will face the second death. Complete separation from Elohim.
Yes.
Complete separation. And we don't, man, that's going to be a sad, sad day. There's a lot of people that we know. That hopefully we keep praying for them that their eyes will be open, they'll come to their senses and realize that they need to come back here, because if not, separation from Elohim is a bad, bad spot. Listen, I witnessed that for 3 years. Could you imagine that forever? Man, I don't want to be there. I would hate to be there. Because if he's not with you, you're doing everything on your own and nothing goes right. Nothing.
Right.
Remember I told y'all last night, pure hell.
Yeah.
That's what 3 years was, pure hell. Why put ourselves through that when he's, all his goodness is right here in his word.
Yeah.
All we gotta do is just be obedient.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. He's good to us.
Amen.
So that's all I have for tonight too. He's so good, but I'm just so thankful. So thankful for Sukkot. You. This is exciting. This was exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait for next year. I can't wait for get to be with his people every single day for 8 days for a whole next year. We're already planning for it. We already got ideas. We got Sister Felicia will not be bending over to wash dishes no more. We're going to have her hooked up. Hooked up. Amen. He's good to us. And I want to thank him. And I thank each and every one of y'all for coming out tonight. He's good. And I was going to mention Sister Love, but Pastor beat me to it. He really did. Because when Brother Rob mentioned him, I was like, it was Sister Love who told him to come here. So, but I was glad it was Pastor and not me, because that's just how the Father works.
Amen.
He knows. No. Amen. He's good.
Yes, he's so good.
That's right. All right.
Well, anybody need prayer for anything? All right. Let's pray for Kelsey. Who else?
I have a poor guy's problem with sleep, especially since March. Some nights I sleep 2-3 hours. Some nights, every blue moon, I get 4-5 hours. But I'm just really exhausted in my body because I lose my balance. I get off kilter because I don't sleep. It's hard.
All right. The Bible says he gives his sleep. If he gives sleep, we ought to be sleeping. Oh, so I'm telling you, he gives sleep. And you're going to sleep good tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's his word. I can't give it to you, but that's his word. We just got to believe what he said. You're going to sleep tonight.
Amen.
Sleep with joy. Anybody else? If you need prayer, don't go without getting prayer. We're going to pray for you. Believe God for you. It doesn't matter what the situation is. We want to pray with you and believe God with you. We're here together to trust God together. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we're so grateful. We thank you for the time you've given us. We're